Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In 2014, a failed stand-up comic entered a contest called The Hunt for the Host. He did not win. Later, he was joined by an underperforming Oregon State fullback with a community college degree. These men, neither having earned the position and possessing no real skills, continue on as radio personalities. If you have nothing better to do on a Saturday morning, and if you can find them, maybe you can hear The Sinner and the Saint. Starring Luke Anderson.
We got a lot of gentlemen's clubs. Whoa. How do you like those? Oh, hey, everybody.
Mickey Mouse now.
It is now. Devolved into that.
And Will Darkins.
Ear or eye?
Where do you want it?
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah. Welcome back, Hour 2.
Sinner and Saint, if you missed anything from Hour 1, the Les Schwab Tires podcast is available at 1080thefan.com following this fine program. Did you know that you can follow 1080 The Fan on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and Tumblr and Zoom and...
No.
No?
Not those.
TikTok?
No, we're not on TikTok yet.
Quibi?
I don't think...
Foursquare?
We're on...
MySpace?
Quibi. I mean, if we were on Foursquare, that'd just be a website, I think. Right?
I don't know. You tell me. You tell me, smart guy.
I don't know.
You can also listen to this program if you're listening through your AM radio. It's available on HD2, 99.5. It's available on radio.com.
There's no way smart in heck speaker, we would ever have
radio.com
TikTok
app.
Ever.
Why not?
What?
It's just us lip syncing to stuff. I thought you and I were going to start we were going to start it before this whole pandemic because we can't be in the same room anymore. If you're listening, we're in separate rooms. There's a big piece of glass between us. We're like, what, 12 feet apart plus the glass dividing us. If we could be in the same room, we would have started our TikTok account. We were going to start it the week that this whole thing happened.
Yeah, here's the issue. There's a lot of guys on the station who physically get like distraught when I show them Instagram.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like they either don't understand it or they get really pissed off about it.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but I don't get upset about it. Like
they get very upset when I ask them, "Could you please contribute to it?"
If you ask me to contribute, I'm all in. I don't have the interest level to participate in it solo. But
yeah.
Hey, you and I, we've actually stopped doing the videos. We need to figure out a way to do those again. But if you ask me to participate, I'm always happy to participate. But yeah, let's start our TikTok. We're going to rock that.
We're not going to start TikTok.
Why not?
Because nobody will do it.
We'll be so good. You and I.
Let me tell you something.
Don't worry about the rest of the station.
This is how every social media initiative starts at this station, or at least before I came into my job, this is how every social media initiative started. In fact, this is how the fans' Snapchat started, which is...
Oh, we have Snapchat?
There's Snapchat? We should get an account. Three posts later, years, nobody contributes.
There was for a very long time, I think until they updated the website, there was a blog section on there that
was
blogs from Isaac and Suk and I think Travis Demers and Josh Wilcox that were on there, and each of them had like one half-assed blog and then just ended.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Well, that's how a lot of things are. I mean, that's not unique to this environment. It happens in all.
That's how you become not the best.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm. But what I'm suggesting is that you and I, for the sinner and saint,
you won't do it.
I'm happy to do it.
In fact,
tell me what you need, homie.
The only thing that everybody gets excited about here, and this is what drives me insane.
Ooh.
People get really excited here about using Twitter. And I said, that's great. I get it. Twitter is an information source.
Yeah.
Totally. Now, when I say, hey, I think we should start contributing a little bit to the Instagram account, I think that would be good because a lot of people are on Instagram and pretty much now Instagram is Facebook. Facebook is for anybody that's 45 and older. Sure. Everybody has one, but they don't really use it that much. Yeah. It's 45 and olders that use it. Instagram is now your main source of expressing your opinion and expressing who you are.
Yeah.
Now, when I show it to them, they go, oh, gosh, you know what's on here? It's just a bunch of women in low-cut shirts and models and stuff.
Why would they say it in that tone?
Oh, yeah, they're just, ugh.
Like, why would I use this? Beautiful women.
And then I fire back and I go, I know, right? Why would I use Twitter? It's just a bunch of anti-Semitic babble. They're like, well, no, it's not. And I go, are you sure? I don't know. I feel like Twitter
is... There is a lot of that.
Yeah, I feel like it's just a bunch of really angry, racist people screaming.
Well, here's my... And tell me if my perception is off on Twitter. It's that, and then it's a news feed, right? It's people going, hey, I have some information that's going to add to it. That's why I don't use Twitter. I don't have any information to add to the conversation. And my clever quips just dissolve into nothing on there because they're very inconsistent. So when I go on to Twitter, it is... oh, dude, what just happened? Like, we talked about it earlier when the Kobe crash happened. I go, dude, I need to verify this. And then you get verified reports from people in the media. And that's how I use Twitter. Oh, something just happened. Oh, is the NFL restarting or not? Let me go to Twitter and check it out. That's what I do. Am I using it right?
I guess. Sure. Okay. Whatever.
Whatever. I guess. Just stopped listening.
It's however you use it, man.
You just stopped listening.
See, and I think that's also the other thing with social media that a lot of people kind of stop doing with it is that they say that they encounter it and they go, how do I use this?
Yep.
And that's a very old way of thinking. It's like I gave you a washing machine and you're like, all right, well, how do I use the damn thing? I mean, most social media platforms are not like operation manual included. Yeah. It's more about you kind of poke around, you see what other people are doing, you see what you can do, and then you make your own.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Well, you have fun.
Oh, I'm not all about that.
I know.
Yeah.
This show's about serious issues.
Yeah, you're damn right it is.
Like examining Guy Fieri's racism.
It's just turned into a gigantic Mexican.
Whoa.
I know, right? What a jerk.
That guy. I mean, Flavortown sounds like a fun place to be.
Take me to Flavortown.
Not if you're Mexican.
So you promised, like, things and stuff, right?
I suggested the possibility of things and stuff.
Well, why don't you throw out a thing?
NFL can reopen facilities next week if protocols met. Local regulations allow.
Okay.
So there are going to be protocols put in place going, hey, we need to do these things. The NBA facilities opened last week. And now the NFL is going, hey, we can open up the team facilities. You're going to need to stay physically distanced from people within those facilities, and your local jurisdiction needs to allow it. Mm. The NFL, you've said, has a much better chance of returning than college football because they don't have all of the university things that they need to comply with.
It's a business.
It is very much a business. What is the likelihood that we have the NFL return this fall on time?
Much higher than college football.
Yeah, and I've actually,
I've started to think that you probably will see the NFL come back because I think what will happen, and if golf can do this successfully, which you know they are doing this weekend,
golf is June.
Well, 11. Now isn't there some tournament they're having this?
They're
week?
Doing they're doing like a little playoff
next weekend or something.
The thing that you're referencing is just a skins game between. It's like a. Just a few players going out. They're going back to actual PGA events on the 11th, I believe.
So I believe that if you don't see a spike in cases among players with golf, and then the next to return after that's probably going to be baseball.
Baseball or basketball, yeah.
Yeah, probably baseball.
Probably.
Because I think basketball is going to get too hung up on the whole idea of, like, do we finish the season or do we not?
Well, and there's a lot more close contact in basketball than there is baseball.
And I think that... if you have these positive things happen one after the other with each of these leagues, again, it's more about the athletes than it is the fans, because I do believe with golf, they'll probably let some fans in at some point. It'll be very sparse.
Yep.
Baseball, I do believe they will let some fans in at a certain point. Basketball, I believe they're just going to say, zip, no, yep. Definitely not. If you have the cases maintained among players, I think you will
definitely see the NFL go forward with no fans. Now, I think that each of the professional leagues will consider, if they do bring in fans, if they start getting COVID cases, I think they'll keep going full steam ahead because I think they consider that fair game. If you're a fan and you want to come to it and you want to risk that, that's on your own volition.
Yeah.
But if you're not infecting the players and they can still get on TV and they can get on the field and we can sell advertising, we're good. I don't care.
Yeah. One of the other things that is really tricky is for these leagues, there's a lot of revenue tied to getting back to playing the games. You know, a lot of businesses out there, small businesses locally, are trying to figure out how to navigate, you know, reopening. So a lot of the Oregon counties are now reopened, not Clackamas, Multnomah, Washington County, but they're working on it and trying to figure out how to get back into business because revenue is important. We've seen it with breweries. I know that a lot of the breweries that are allowed to be open have decided not to because it may not be worth bringing back all of your employees at a percentage of the revenue. Mm. Baseball, at least a couple players have come out and said very vocally that they're not interested in getting paid less money to play baseball. So I do want to talk about that. We don't have to talk about the baseball side of it, but at least the business side of it. I want to get your thoughts on it. We'll do that next. You're listening to The Sinner and Saint on 1080 The Fan.
That is outrageous. No, it really is.
The Sinner and the Saint tailgate with Luke Anderson and Will Darkins on 1080 The Fan.
I've not had enough time to verify this as fact, but I will read it from the fan text line as if it's true. One proposal that Dr. Fauci has suggested to make contact sports safer is nudity for all athletes and some coaches. Owners should remain at home naked.
Is that true?
I don't know. I just read it if it was. I tried to read it with as much confidence as I could to make people believe it's true. Mm. It's from the fan text line, and I don't know why a fan listener would make up something like that. Mm. More or less interest in watching the NBA without fans if they're naked.
The fans are naked?
Everybody's naked. No, no. If the players are naked, there's no fans. Because I know that you're anti games without fans. You okay if it's games without clothes? Would Nike have to tattoo all the athletes to make sure that they're getting their proper branding from the contract?
No, you just put pasties on.
Just pasties with a Nike logo?
Yeah, on their butts.
On their butts? I don't think you know how pasties work.
You know what I would like quite a bit is for that to happen, and then I would like for all of the super just like macho dudes in sports radio be like, I'm not watching that garbage. It's ridiculous.
Because everybody's naked.
Yeah, I'm not gonna look at a bunch of naked men playing basketball.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, you will. You're going to watch, and you're going to see all their penises.
Sure.
And there will be flopping.
And you have to comment on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the NBA said, look, that's it. Literally, that's the only way we're going to come back. I guarantee you. Every one of those players would go, all right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like if Adam Silver was like, look, dude, I'm not kidding with you. I voted with these owners and these owners are serious about it. They're not going to pay vendors. They're not going to open their stadium. They're going to lock it up with chains and crap like that. You got to be naked while you play. I guarantee every player would strip butt naked.
It'd be an interesting experiment to see what the reaction would be. Was it Adam Morrison that was afraid to take showers? Because of the nudity or because he just didn't like to be clean, but he never showered?
He was probably just scared of himself naked.
Yeah, scared of himself, what he would do.
Yeah, well, I couldn't control.
If I was naked, I couldn't control myself.
You don't want to look at that.
Yeah.
But I would look at all the other guys naked. I mean, wouldn't you be intrigued? I think that would be incredibly intriguing. I would also be curious to see the shots, the camera shots, how well they would, like, get away from the waist.
Yeah. 55305, the fan text line is all about the song that I chose there. That was Walking on Sunshine in Espanol. You're welcome.
Somebody else is saying that Earl Thomas would change sports if that was the case.
Well, it said all contact sports. If we're running with that. The Major League Baseball owners have suggested that they may suggest to players a 50-50 rev split and adjust salaries for whatever happens with the 2020 baseball season.
Mm-hmm.
And at least one player, Blake Snell, pitcher for the Rays, I believe, he ain't having it. He ain't having it. I'm not playing for less. I'm not going out to play for less money than what I'm owed. This is BS. And he makes his argument. Bryce Harper, who is a half a billionaire just based on his last contract, said he's backing Snell on this. If baseball doesn't return, there's no revenue. Should the players be holding the owners to the contracts that they've already signed, knowing that it could really affect things later down the road? So you get paid your 2020 salary because you're under contract, sure. But the owners, if they take a big hit on this season, well, they're not going to be very interested in signing free agent contracts in years to come. Blake Snell, I think, only makes $7 million, and he's a Cy Young winning pitcher, so he's worth a lot more money than that. It's going to affect him down the road a lot more. Tom Glavine talked about this on an interview earlier this week where he was saying that was a big thing that upset a lot of fans about 1994, was when the players went on strike, it was all about the money. And it was really difficult to recover from that for baseball because they were looked at as being very greedy. Put yourself in a position where you're getting paid to play baseball, mm-hmm. or for you, a sport that you love.
NASCAR.
NASCAR. You're getting paid to drive in NASCAR, but they want you to take less money. Isn't that better than no money?
No, not Ooh. Really.
Oh, you're on the Snell side of things.
I'm on the side of precedence. And that's what this will set.
Okay.
Which is why I agree with the players in this case. If you are a capitalist and you love sports, this has to be the most aggravating thing ever.
Sure.
It really does, because you really want to see sports again. But there's no way in hell you can talk any crap to these players about the idea that they say, no, I'm not playing for less money. We agreed on this amount of money that I would play for. Now, yeah. Is anything changing on the field when I get back to action and I'm doing my job? No. I'm not working less hours, am I? No, I'm going to go play in those teams. Now, if we're going to play less games, then you got to pay me for that. Okay, I guess I kind of understand that.
Yeah, well, and they're suggesting
money has been guaranteed to me contractually. No, you're not taking that money away.
Sure.
All the guaranteed money I've already accrued or that is promised to me, no, you're not going to take that away.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm totally fine with players doing this, because anybody who wants to go out there and call themselves a pure capitalist who says that, I'm pissed at this whole wave of democratic socialism of giving handouts to people and blah, blah, blah. That's literally what's happening in pro sports right now, is that they're saying, look, in order for us to survive, everybody needs to take a pay cut so we can essentially give handouts to certain people to make this whole thing run. Well, no, that's not what America is. America is built on the idea of, if I'm incredibly good at something and I name my price, you either pay me or you don't. If you don't want me to play, I'm cool with that, man. I'll sit out because I've already made, in Bryce Harper's case, and as you point out, $500 million. I have $500 million in the bank right now.
Yeah.
So, I'm cool, man.
No, he bought that car. He bought a new Camry when he got that contract signed. So
I just think it's interesting because if you set a precedent now for this, I think you will continue to do so into the future for players because, as it's been said over and over and over again through the news cycle this past week, I don't think we're going to be done with COVID-19 for quite a while. There was one prediction that said it's going to be 5 years. 5 years where you're going to be just thinking about it. Not that we're going to be in our homes for 5 years, but that we're going to go through these peaks and valleys of high infection rates, low infection rates, possibly for 5 years. So right now, as a player, if you say, sure, I'll play for less money, well, how does that stop the owners in the next, say, 2 years from going, sure, hey, I need you to take even less money now because it turns out there's another outbreak?
Yeah, well, the difficult thing on the owner's side is if it is a reduced season, and I think that's where it really becomes a, hey, we want to get back to business, but listen, revenues have been insanely affected by this. And if you're returning without fans, then there's, you know, the addition of you know, we have no revenue coming into the ballparks. There are a lot of costs involved in running the league that is way beyond my grasp of what their P&L looks like. But I wonder how much it's going to affect that next cycle of contracts where, I don't know if they're going to blackball somebody, obviously, if he's got talent, but there's not going to be the same pool of money at the end of the road for this. And that's where I get a little, I'm on both sides of it, because I can see the owner's side, but I also see, well, listen, if we're not going to have the money in the next contract cycle, well, I better get paid what I owed this contract cycle. So that part of it makes it a really difficult situation, but it just adds another layer to all of this, because you have all of the safety concerns that you need to actually get back to playing, which is, how do we make it safe for players? What happens if we're doing tests every week and all of a sudden one of these players tests positive? What does that do to the game that's scheduled for tonight? What does that do for the games that are scheduled next week? What does that do for the facilities? The Korean baseball organization, KBO, they said that if there's a positive test, they're going to shut down that stadium and play all of the games elsewhere. So I don't know how Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL would go with that. On top of it, you go, all right, well, how are we going to pay these players and make it fair for everybody involved? And now that you add kind of the financial element to it, it just makes it, you realize how difficult it's going to be to get back to sports, and it could be a lot longer than we think.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot longer than we think. I believe that if players truly are free agents, right? Yeah. And if they sign contracts and if they want to demand the type of money that they think they deserve, then let them do it. And like you said, if they get blackballed from the league, they get blackballed from the league until somebody just annies up and goes, okay, fine, we'll do that. Yeah. I mean, that's what negotiations are.
Sure, of course.
And I just believe that if you're going to have all of these people, and you know, maybe I'm generalizing here, but if you're going to have all these people who believe that socialism in regards to owning sports franchises is a terrible thing, and that you do support power to the players like the NBA does. The NBA is probably the most power-driven league for players there is out there, in the United States at least.
Well, the rules that they put in place to keep players where they belong, or where they belong, you know, with their home teams, the bird rights and the max contracts just haven't worked. The players are going to go and play wherever they want. The players have more power in the NBA because they've taken it a lot. And they said that the money's not the most important thing. And that's the one league that has done that so far.
Text line, if revs go up, salaries go up.
Yeah. And if revs go down, salaries go down. And that's, the revenues are going to go down if you don't have fans.
Well,
big time.
I mean, what's the difference with baseball?
Well, what I'm saying is,
nobody goes to the game.
Yeah, there was a very clever quip by, I believe it was Ron DeSantos of Florida, said, social distancing, we've been doing that at Marlins games for years.
Yeah.
Oh, they're bad.
It is pretty great, though, that this is happening to baseball.
It's happening to everybody, though.
Well, this in particular is happening to baseball.
Yeah.
You want to know why?
Please tell me. Because you hate baseball.
I don't really know who the face of baseball in terms of players is in this pandemic.
And right now it's Blake Snell. Do you have any idea
Snell is? And I wonder what message she's putting out, right? Pay me more.
Yeah, this is, again, that's why Tom Glavine is out going, man, if you make it about money.
Now, I think this totally exposes who baseball players are. Which sure. They basically just say, look, I'm there to do my job and you're going to pay me for it. And I really have no interest in promoting myself or the team. I really don't care.
Versus a clip you played earlier in the show from Chris Paul going, man, we just want to get back.
Well, we want to get back. It's a good, I think when you have guys like that, when you have guys like that in the NFL, when you have guys like that in the NBA, it says something about the sport that actually makes you excited about it. It makes you feel like you have a connection with the players. Yep. I swear to you, man, I know I'm not a baseball fan, but I don't know how fans can have connections to players anymore. I don't think that they really care about fans. I really don't. I don't think the players give one S about the fans whatsoever. I think they go in and collect their paychecks and they understand what the business is. They understand that there's a certain demographic of fans who have a bigger loyalty to a logo than they do to their favorite players. Bryce Harper's the perfect example. He doesn't give an S about what anybody in Philadelphia thinks of him.
He didn't care what anybody in Washington thought of him either.
He didn't care. The one genuinely nice thing he did was, okay, fine, I'll do that last home run derby.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, but he also, you know, he said that, you know, he was very happy where he was, even though he missed out on a chance to win a World Series.
Happy. Whatever.
Yeah, like,
dude, well, A-Rod again, not in, about in New
winning.
York.
It's about the money. It's not about it's winning.
Money. That's it. It's about money. And it goes back also to the whole just friggin' sabermetrics of baseball.
Yeah. Well,
it's not about the game anymore. It's about runs. It's about getting people on base. And if you're entertained by that, you know, go friggin' watch Wallpaper Dry.
I will not disagree that baseball as a whole has an image problem, and this certainly does not help.
Chris Paul is on national TV saying, man, we just want to play. Giannis Antetokounmpo is on Twitter retweeting things of him having awesome one-on-one battles with people where he's winning and losing, going, man, I miss the game.
Yeah.
You have dudes in the NFL who are going out and practicing, breaking social distancing rules, even though that's bad. You shouldn't do that. It shows how much passion they have for the game. The face of baseball in terms of players in the coronavirus is this dude who plays for the Rays who goes, I'm not playing for less money. Screw you.
Hey.
Yeah. And then Bryce Harper right behind him, which I'm pretty surprised Bryce Harper wasn't the first person. But, who goes, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, he's not the first to anything. He's always the second one. He's like, I didn't think of it myself, but here I am.
I'm in it for the money. Screw you, fans. Screw you, 98-year-old guy who still listens to national games on your radio. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, man. It's just, it's really blatant. It sucks. And if you're a baseball fan, you should see it and you should be disappointed. If you really think that's what the game's about. Otherwise, keep playing fantasy baseball and boring people.
Doc Rivers talking about LeBron, but not as a basketball player. We'll tell you what they, Austin and Doc Rivers spoke about when they mentioned LeBron recently in a, I guess it was a podcast video chat. Zoom meeting.
Quibi. I mean,
exactly. What Doc Rivers said about LeBron after this Sports Center update. Jen Ellis drop. This Jen Ellis, our baseball insider. Staying home, staying safe. Jen, if you're listening, we miss you. You're welcome back anytime. Well, no, you're not, but you know you are. You know what I mean.
So wait, is she welcome back?
I don't know. Do her keys still work?
Probably.
Yeah,
you're mine still does.
She's welcome back anytime. So, of course she is. Austin Rivers is the son of Doc Rivers.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Did you not know that?
Oh. Well, that makes sense now.
So, Rivers said to his son on an uninterrupted chat, so the show uninterrupted, the two of them were talking back and forth, and they were talking about LeBron James. Here's a direct quote from Doc Rivers. He said, I really believe if LeBron James had to play football, he may have been the greatest football player ever.
Oh, that's smoke. Come on.
Perfect. That's exactly the response I expected from
you. Yeah.
What is the difference between being a great basketball player and being a great football player?
I would say the main difference is accolades. In football, if you have more accolades, you're regarded better.
Well, I'm going to need you to explain more.
Well, think of it this way. People still put Wilt Chamberlain, like, up in the top five, right? Never won a title, did he?
Yeah, I think he did.
Did he?
I think so.
How many?
I don't know. I'll pull up Wilt for you. You keep talking. You keep explaining. Well, your.
I guess what I'm saying is that I know a lot more guys who are considered in the top 10, top 15 discussions in the NBA who really have never won titles or haven't won that many.
Wilt Chamberlain, two-time NBA champ.
Okay, two-time NBA champ.
Yep.
You know, you compare that to somebody like Bill Russell or Michael Jordan or even LeBron James, who's won three.
Sure.
And I think that in the NBA, those guys are regarded higher, the ones that have padded stats and that have the accolades except for the championships is what I'm trying to say. Like, okay, you can consider Steve Nash a top 10 point guard of all time. He never won a title. In fact, he never even went to a finals, but he won back-to-back MVPs and is pretty high up there on the assist list.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go somewhere like football and we have to have the conversation of, well, Eli Manning kind of sucked, but we need to consider him a Hall of Famer. He's a two-time Super Bowl winner.
Okay.
Because really, when you look at Eli Manning's career as a whole, kind of sucked. He really wasn't that good. He really sucked, actually.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, same way, we kind of disregard him, right? Because he's only won one Super Bowl. But when we were talking about that list of the best players of the last decade, and he was, what, 33, 32, something like that, we were all like, what the hell are you talking about? Dude, look at that guy play. Just look at the results on the field. But we don't hold him in that high of regard because when it comes to the big titles and everything, you know, he's won one Super Bowl, but...
Eh. Well, but here's my other question on the topic is how many 6'9" football players are there? How many guys have been great athletes and can't put up to the punishment that you get in football? Yes, you have to be a great athlete to play professional football, but there's the greatest football players of all time. Oftentimes, for your point, you go to accolades and you go, well, Tom Brady's the greatest of all time because he's got 35 Super Bowl championships. He's not the greatest athlete ever to play football, but he might be the greatest football player ever. You played college football. How many guys?
I did.
How many guys that you played with, you're like, dude, this guy is an absolute freak, but couldn't put up with the punishment that football took?
The guy, you mean, right?
Yeah, like some guy out there, like blazing speed, the ability to leap over small buildings in a single bound, the physical requirements, all the physical tools, but not having the right mental ability to go out there and just play hurt and to pick up the scheme and to do, you know, everything that you need.
There weren't too many of those guys really in terms of just playing in college football. Now, when it came to the pros, the next level, there's a few that come to mind.
Yeah.
But in college football, I mean, if you're that good at that point, then you're playing. You're the man. You're on the field.
Yeah.
Text line makes a good point, and I don't want to dig too deep into this, but they do throw out Dan Marino, which I will sit here and die on this stake of saying, Dan Marino is so effing overrated. I can't stand it. Yes, and I had literally a yelling match with Dirt about this.
I know you did. And
many months back. It was bad.
We're good. Save your Dan Marino stuff.
He was like, no, Dan Marino's far better than Drew Brees. I was like, Drew Brees has almost just as good stats and also won a Super Bowl. Well, Dan Marino never had the players around him. Well, the quarterback's the most important player on the field. And if Eli Manning has two Super Bowls.
Okay, we're not getting into it, so shut up. LeBron James, 6'9". How many 6'9" NFL greats have there been? Tallest quarterback in NFL history. Care to guess? You don't need to guess who it is, but you can guess.
6'7".
Dan McGuire, 6'8", 240 pounds. Also the younger brother of MLB superstar Mark McGuire. Do you remember Dan McGuire being awesome? No, because you don't remember Dan McGuire. Tallest running back of all time.
I want to say it was that guy from the Giants.
Brandon Jacobs, 6'4".
Yeah, I remember him.
Tallest wide receiver.
I'm going to go 6'7" again.
6'8", 225 pounds. Harold Carmichael, 4-time Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
Your tight end? Tallest tight end.
I'm going to go again 6'8", maybe 6'9".
Yeah, 6'8". There was a guy at 6'10", Marcus Stroud, drafted out of Clark, Atlanta by the Kansas City Chiefs in the third round of the 1969 NFL draft. In his five-year career, he had 54 receptions for almost 1,000 yards.
Cool.
Yeah, but a guy you never heard of. At tackle, Jonathan Ogden was 6'9".
LeBron, yeah, I would have expected that.
LeBron not playing left tackle. You have guards. Okay. The tallest guard is 6'7".
I get it. You're setting precedent.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's just, okay, well, here's the one that I wanted to get to. How tall was Ed Too Tall Jones?
Played defense, 6'5".
Defensive end. He was 6'9".
No.
So where I throw out the question is, where would you put LeBron? If LeBron is going to be easily slotted in as the greatest football player ever by Doc Rivers, where do you put him on the field?
Well, I'm just going to ignore the logic of greatest football player ever.
Okay.
That just doesn't...
Doesn't compute for you?
No, I mean, come on. He wouldn't be the greatest football player ever. His greatest chance of succeeding is tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily. Tight end. Make him like a Antonio Gates. Just put him in slot. Don't have him block a lot. Yeah,
can you take a lot of NBA players and put them into a NFL situation?
No, I don't think you can.
When I don't mean
not today's NBA.
I don't mean most of the guys on the rosters, but I'm saying if you went through the league over the years and you took a guy, you know, with the physical ability. There's a lot of guys in basketball, I think, that have the physical stature. Derek Fisher, I always thought, looked like a football player. Well, you have to remember, he's 6'4". He looks like a tiny little guy on a basketball court, but that guy was pretty thick.
I don't know, man. See, I think what you're missing here is the mentality.
That's exactly what I'm saying, and that's what I was trying to allude to earlier. I'm just saying,
I think LeBron James has the mentality.
Okay.
He does, man. He's a fierce competitor. Michael Jordan has the mentality. He freaking did it in baseball. Michael Jordan would have been fine in basketball. You could put him at slot.
Or football.
Football. Like, you know, maybe he doesn't have the incredible quickness, but you could put him at slot. He can run routes.
Derek Fisher, only 6'1".
Yeah.
Had to double check.
It's that type of mentality. Yeah. And I think LeBron does have that. I mean, that's what we see from Michael Jordan. Dude, Michael Jordan was crying in that documentary because of the fact that people kept questioning, like, why are you such an a-hole to your teammates? And he's like, because I want to win.
Yeah.
I want to friggin' win. And if you don't agree with it, look up at the banners. And that's why I totally understand it when you have D-bag guys on your team who want to push you that much. Now, you got to back it up with some talent. You got to back it up with some rings. But those guys do. And that's why I also have a little bit of respect for Tom Brady in that sense, where he's yelling at rookies on the sidelines in his last year in New England. I mean, I think it was like a Monday night game where they were miking him up, or there was a mic close to him where he was like yelling at receivers, like, run your friggin' route. Run it to completion.
I think there's this tendency that we have is to look at somebody that is in the conversation for greatest of all time and say that it's a lot more about their elite talent. Like Michael Jordan, insanely talented. Is he the greatest athlete, using the air quotes, because of his running, leaping ability?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's because of the mentality that you just brought up.
No, it's both of them.
It is, but there are other guys that have the physical tools without the mental ability. There are other guys that have the mental ability without the, it's the combination of both.
But Michael Jordan has them both.
Dude,
he was 6'6". He was 6'6", and he dunked over like Patrick Ewing constantly.
Constantly. That's all he ever did was dunk over.
Go back and look.
I did.
Yes, he did. That's all he did to Patrick Ewing.
No, I know, but the way I heard it was, that's all he did in the NBA was just dunk on Patrick Ewing.
That's all you got to remember from the 90s was Michael Jordan dunking on Patrick Ewing and slapping him.
Yeah, what I'm saying is as you, if you go athlete, there are plenty of guys in throughout history have been freak athletes. The rare air is when you get in the combination of guys that want it more than everybody and have the talent. The rumor that Jordan ran a 4.38 40,
I believe it.
That would be something that's something that,
again, that's straight ahead speed. I doubt Jordan would have the quickness to play receiver.
Dude, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got to have a whole, and see, that's kind of where blurred lines happen because with a lot of basketball players, the natural inclination for most of them to play in the NFL is you go, okay, tight end or receiver, because most of them are very slender, thin, and just, you know, they're athletic people. Yep. I mean, maybe a center you could throw at tackle, perhaps. I don't know.
Except
centers these days are kind of the same as forwards.
Put Shaq at the end.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it goes the other way, too, when you think of other guys who aren't really physically talented but have that mentality to really overcome everything. I know that a lot of people that I've heard through documentaries say that was Jerry Rice. Yeah. Jerry Rice really wasn't that physically gifted. It was just the
huge
fact
hands.
That he was insanely good at practicing routes and running them correctly. Now, don't get me wrong, the guy's fast, but it was his ability to run routes to absolute precision and completion that just took him away from everybody else.
And he did have, he said in an interview that he was, but he was embarrassed of how big his hands were. And he used to walk around with his hands in his pockets so people wouldn't see. And then he started being, a great football player. And he's like, oh yeah, I guess you can see my giant hands.
Except when he went to the club. Check out these hands, ladies.
What's up?
You know what this means.
Jerry Rice in the house. The other thing that's interesting to think about, though, is how much different those guys would look. When you watch the Last Dance documentary, Jordan's trainer talking about how different the training was for baseball and basketball, and both the transition from basketball to baseball and then back. You wonder how different Jordan, LeBron, Shaq would have looked if they were on a football training schedule.
Yeah.
Be nuts. All right. Well, fun to think about. So just wanted to have that quick conversation. We will tell you what to watch. We'll do that next. Sinner and Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Which is the most exciting matchup in the field of competition? Which game will leave you kicking yourself if you miss it? Which channel should you switch to when the sporting day is gone? Welcome to America's most exciting sports talk radio show segment. It's time for What to Watch. Presented by Encore Audio Video. Now hear this. Whether you're looking for a new TV or a custom home theater, start at Encore's showroom at 14th and Everett in the Pearl. Now our expert panel, avid television viewer Will Darkins, and increasingly out-of-touch father of twin girls, Luke Anderson, are here to tell you what to watch. Literally, it's What to Watch on The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Textline had another good one. Rasheed Wallace.
Not the mentality, though.
Yeah.
Also, Ricky Henderson at running back. Ricky Henderson, man, that guy was a unique personality. I love the Ricky Henderson story of he gets his first $1 million check and then puts it on his wall. The team calls him up and goes, hey, what if you didn't cash that check? It's on my wall. Maybe it was his first paycheck. Maybe it wasn't $1 million. Either way, just hung up his check.
Either way, he's a dummy.
He's a dummy. Stole a lot of bases, though. That's faux show. I don't know, man. It's amazing when you see the guys that actually do play two sports. You forget that Deion Sanders played baseball and was taking helicopters in between Atlanta and Washington. I believe Washington. Or maybe it was, I think it was Washington when he played with the Redskins. But anyways, playing in the World Series and playing in the NFL in the same week. It's like, dude, nuts. Awesome, though. What are you going to watch after The Last Dance concludes? Because I know you're watching The Last Dance.
You're never watching The Last Dance.
Dude, I'm pumped for the end of it, but I'm a little sad for the end of it, too.
Why?
Because it's great.
Why don't you just watch all the other documentaries that ESPN has?
we were talking, Joe and I talked about that yesterday in our Dirt and Sprague stint. There are a ton of really good basketball documentaries out there. But yeah, I will definitely go on a 30 for 30 binge.
In fact, the first one I'm watching afterwards is the mid-90s Orlando Magic documentary.
I was thinking the same one.
It was just an interesting time in basketball. The fact that you just all of a sudden didn't have Michael Jordan, and then you were like, oh yeah, Hakeem Olajuwon's really good. Oh yeah, the Knicks are actually really good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the Magic are pretty much like the Thunder of the 90s.
They were definitely a big what-if team, for sure.
Yeah, dude, you got if. Penny Hardaway, Scott Skiles, and...
Scott Skiles is the second guy you go to after Penny Hardaway?
I mean, Shaq, but...
Oh yeah.
Well, and I consider that team more likable than the Thunder because of the fact you had... Kevin Durant, who, as scientifically it's been proven, is a little bitch.
Yeah, but Shaq left to go play with Kobe.
Yeah, but Shaq won 3 rings and was obviously dominant.
Did he win 4? Did he win 3?
No, with the Lakers.
Yeah, and then he won a 4th with the Heat.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, because then after he left L.A., it was kind of like, okay, whatever.
No, that Heat team was really good.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have more angst towards Kevin Durant.
Well, sure.
Because, I mean, Shaq played with one Hall of Famer, one true Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I know some other guys might get in there. I bet Robert Ory will probably get in there.
Well, but Dwayne Wade.
Well, again, I'm just referencing the Lakers team.
Gotcha.
Because I'm sure Kevin Durant will play for another. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the thing. He's playing with like 3 to 4 Hall of Famers, and he basically gets like 5 minutes of rest at a time, and then he just goes back out there when they're like only up by 2, and they're like, hey, just go score 30 points, and don't play defense.
KD went to the team that set the NBA record for wins that they took to Game 7 in the prior year. His team. Yeah. It's.
And then he went to Brooklyn
Worst move.
KD, you cheese butt. Where LeBron at? KD, LeBron, he gonna yam on you.
Following this show on this station.
Well, what are you watching?
I'm just dropping in the OSN Classic real quick. Oregon versus Washington. from 18.
Cool.
Yeah, so that'll be that. ESPN is playing the World Series game 2013 game 4, Red Sox Cardinals will be played after that. So you're getting plenty of old play-by-play. I'm going to go and watch the first documentary I'm going to watch is I never watched the Larry and Magic, the Bird Magic documentary that they made.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so I'm going to go watch that one because for me, that's an era that I don't have the familiarity with. The 90s, I remember a lot of that Magic stuff, but I do not recall a ton of the Bird Magic, but obviously you
recall
know the
personality. AIDS stuff.
Yes, that I remember. That I remember, but I was a little too young to watch those games, so that's when I'll dive back into.
Yeah, I still contend that the NBA really started in the 80s.
Just the level of play, man.
I know,
the level of play just got better.
Okay.
Isn't that when they actually stopped playing games on tape delay?
No, I don't think that's accurate.
I'm pretty sure that's accurate, that there were championship games in the early 80s and late 70s that one of them was, like, on tape delay.
Yeah, there were some games, but I don't think all of the games were, like, they're like, oh, we're no more tape delays. But they used to tape delay Monday Night Football into the 90s. Whatever. All right, that's what I'm watching. We are all done. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the OSN Classic. Bye-bye.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing.
That much shellfish?
Always look on the bright side of life. Come on!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.